In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, we find, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. We're going to use this as our text for our sermon this morning. Again, it's so good to see everyone out today. We need to keep praying for one another, helping one another as we can, and all striving as we work to make it on our way home. So he says, Luke records, "The Lord has said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine.'" I want us to consider this phrase, a chosen vessel. When we think of a vessel, what is a vessel? The definition, it's a hollow utensil, such as a cup, a vase, or pitcher, used as a container, especially for liquids. And it can also mean a craft, especially one larger than a rowboat, designed to navigate on water, or an airship. So a vessel is something that contains something else. When we look at Paul's life, Paul delighted to call himself a slave of Jesus Christ. This is another term to refer to him. The slave was at the disposal of the master. The slave did not have any special interest of his own. The slave would do the master's bidding. So the same thought comes out in the title of vessel given to Paul by the Lord himself immediately after his conversion. "Go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me." Again, a vessel has no will of its own, but is open to be filled with anything to be carried anywhere. As we go through this sermon, I'm going to be talking about Paul as a vessel, but I'm using him to get us to consider ourselves as a vessel. We are a vessel. We have no will of our own other than to do the Father's will. And we should be open to the Father telling us what to do and then going about doing it. So let's look at the history of Paul and see if there are any similarities in our life. First, we're going to notice that he is an unclean vessel. In verse 1, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." So as we see Paul, he was breathing threats. He was wanting to commit murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was full of hatred for the followers of Christ. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was injurious. And he's not the only person like that. And when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in the first letter that he wrote to them, we have a catalog of the sins that they had committed. And he said, "Such were some of you, but you were washed." They used to be all types of individuals that had committed sin, but originally they were unclean. Paul was an unclean vessel. In verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around him a bright light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'" So Saul was in Jerusalem. He went there to get letters of authority to bind Christians, to have them put to death. And he traveled on his way up to Damascus. Here we see Paul, Saul, become an empty vessel. In verse 4, "Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" So notice this. His own plans and purposes were set aside. The Lord had turned him upside down. Again, as a vessel, he emptied him out. And notice this phrase, he would tell him what you must do. So this indicates that whatever message Paul would receive was not going to be optional. It would not be left up to him whether or not he wanted to do it. But it was mandatory. You must do this. And in the sequel to this, in Acts 22, it's recorded that this is the only commandment given to Saul. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Must. Must is one of the biggest words in the New Testament. Not in size, but in application. We must do it. In this passage, it shows that baptism is one of the must regarding salvation. And you go to John chapter 3, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And what does Jesus tell him? You must be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. Must. So any doctrine, any church that tells you that you do not must be born again is one that we should not listen to, because it's a false doctrine. So we see he was an unclean vessel. He becomes an empty vessel. His life is turned upside down. We see that he is a chosen vessel. And chosen for what? The Lord said to him, go, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now this was something that was prophesied back in the Old Testament, that this was going to take place. Because under the old law, the law was just for the Jews. And you cannot separate this verse from the words of the prophecy of Isaiah regarding the new name to be born by God's children. In Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So we see that God's people are going to be given a special name. When people say that the name Christian was given in derision by people that were making fun of him, it was not. It was a new name that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. And not only are God's people going to be given a new name, his message is going to go to a new group of people. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings will see thy glory. So again, this is universal. It pleased God who called me by his grace, Galatians 1:5. And this is according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, by grace are ye saved. So he's unclean. We see he's emptied. He's chosen. Then he becomes a filled vessel. Filled in Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with the flesh and blood. So what was he filled with? He was filled with the word of God. He was filled with this message to take and deliver to the Gentiles. How long did he wait to do it? He didn't wait at all. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So where was he when he was converted? He was up in Damascus. He had come from Jerusalem. And when we read in the account after he was converted, where did he go? We don't read it in Acts. We read it in Galatians. But he went to Arabia. And he was there for a time, and then he went back to Damascus, and then it was still another time before he went down to Jerusalem. And when he went to Jerusalem, the saints there did not want to accept him because they knew him as this person that was persecuting the church. But he is filled now. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are this earthen vessel that is filled with the message of God. There's nothing special about us. What is special is the message that we deliver to people. And again, that is why we need to know God's word inside and out. We need to know how to get across to people that they are lost. And without the blood of Christ, they are going to be lost forever. They must be told words of what they must do to be saved. And when you, again, you think of that, what you must do, you aren't saved because you have some feeling. You aren't saved because you hear a voice whisper into your ear. There's something we must do. So he has this message. Now he's a vessel that is filled. We have this vessel in earthen treasures, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us, chosen and filled with the treasures of the gospel, that he might bear his name before the Gentiles. And he was chosen for that. And we see how when he went to the Jews rejected him. They thought that he was a traitor. They thought that he was a turncoat. So while he is in the process of going toward the Gentiles, these Jews are following him around, wanting to put him to death. Was there anything special about Paul? Well, when you compare him to everybody else, you might look from a worldly standpoint and say, yeah, but when you look in the big picture, there is nothing special about him. What was special was the treasure that was in him. That's what's special about us, the treasure that is in us. And we see that this vessel may be broken, but the contents are not going to be stolen. They are precious contents. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, you have this as the picture I'm using, a clay pot that can be broken, it can be shattered. And he says, I take pleasure in the things that befall me, because they are befalling me for Christ's sake, not for things that I have done, but for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he's a separated vessel now. In Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So again, in the book of Acts, Acts 13 is a pivotal chapter where Saul and Barnabas are at Antioch. And Antioch is the church that sends them out on their missionary journeys. And this is a point when Saul is going to the Gentiles, and Saul takes on his Roman name, Paul. So from Acts 13 on, you're going to read of him as Paul with his Roman name. Up to chapter 13, we read of him as Saul with his Jewish name. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. He was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. So Paul is stating so many things as he's beginning to write to the church at Rome. But he's talking about Christ, born of the seed of David. He's declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Weren't there other people that had risen from the dead? Yes, there had been. But what made it special about Christ? He was the only one that rose never to die again. He was the only one that rose that they saw ascend into heaven. And the angels standing there said to the men, "What are you doing looking up into heaven? You see him go up, he's going to come back again." He was the Son of God. Paul was separated to go and proclaim this. Ephesians chapter 4. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." That's what we need to tell people, the same thing. You need to stop walking like you've been walking in darkness and in ignorance of what God wants us to do. Verse 19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness." Again, this is the message that we need to get out to everybody today. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Paul was chosen for this purpose, to take this message to the Gentiles. Friends, we are chosen too to take this message to everyone. Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." A living sacrifice. We live for Christ. We use our bodies as instruments of worshiping God. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This goes back to resisting Satan, to fighting Satan. We don't want to blend in. We don't want to go along with the world. We've got to be transformed, completely different than the world. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our heart, that high place, that heavenly place, where we worship our God, our Savior Jesus Christ. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we see Saul being changed completely from being unclean, from being emptied, to being chosen, to being filled. We're going to see him being an honored vessel. In Acts 26:16, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." And friends, in a way, we do not have this exact same mandate, but we have a message to deliver to people. And back to this account where he encountered Christ, we have another account helping us understand that in Acts 26. "Whereupon, as I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven." And notice, in Acts 26, who's he addressing? He's addressing a king that we read about back in Isaiah, that God's word would be proclaimed to the kings. "O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goad?' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But arise and stand on your feet, for to this end I have appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee. So we see one of the purposes that Christ appeared to him was to qualify him to be an apostle, where he would have seen the resurrected Christ, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of the things that thou hast seen, that thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee. But notice, it was midday, and both in Acts 9 and Acts 22, this is where Saul's conversion accounts are given, and there's some interesting information that goes along with this. O king, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining round about me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice in the Hebrew language saying, is it hard for you to kick against the goads? But arise, stand on your feet. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So notice some of the things that happened when Christ appeared to Saul. The light was brighter than the sun. The light enveloped the whole company in verse 13. The whole company fell to the ground in verse 14. Jesus spoke in Hebrew in verse 14. He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the goad in verse 14. And then there's more information with this in verses 16 and 18. And when he's talking about kicking against the goad, this was something that everyone would understand at that time. This long stick that this man is holding in this illustration is a goad. And as the animal would pull the plow and they would want to stop, they would not want to keep pulling that plow. And the master would take that goad and keep prodding them on. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Sometimes we need that. We need, when we want to stop, we need a prod to keep going. And when you think about Christ appearing to Saul, and then Saul speaking to Ananias, maybe some of the things told Paul by Ananias were spoken to Paul directly from heaven by the Lord. Maybe the Lord told him this, and then Ananias tells him the same thing. And then because we see the full immediate trust that Paul placed in Ananias' words, he knew that they were the words of the Lord. So we have this vessel now that's filled with riches. And what is to be done with this vessel that is filled for riches? We set it aside. We put it in the pantry and close the door, right? We set it aside. We set it outside. We forget about it. No, it is to be used abundantly of God in blessing poor and needy souls. Friends, we are that vessel that has been emptied and filled up. And what are we doing? Are we just setting our life on a shelf? Well, somebody else will talk to that person. Somebody else will teach them. Somebody else will do this. I've heard the phrase, if I can remember it correctly, somebody when they retired was talking about they would go and live on Someday Isle. You know, you hear about these islands, Someday Isle. Someday I'll do this, Someday I'll do that. Friends, we need to do things today. An empty well has no attraction for the thirsty. There's nothing in it but disappointment. You go to a well, a water source, you expect to get water out of it to be refreshed, and it's empty, And that's a disappointment. That well is made for holding water. We are made for holding the treasure of Christ, the riches of Christ. When people come to us, they should not be disappointed with what the information is that we give them. But we also see Paul as a suffering vessel. In 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of our power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. And he gives a catalog of his afflictions in 2 Corinthians 11:21. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. You see, all these tribulations, and he doesn't repeat himself, it's just more and more and more, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fashions often, in cold and nakedness. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. You read this list of what Paul went through, and then you compare that to what people say today. We missed you at services. Oh, well, I just wasn't feeling good. I don't know what it was. I probably did too much or stayed up too late, or I had a headache, or my toe hurt, or whatever. Any excuse is going to work. You look at everything. How can we compare our excuses to what Paul went through? The vessels of God bearing his name cannot expect to fare better than the master himself. When you think about everything that Christ suffered, the rejection, the humiliation, the beatings that Christ was given, should we expect anything less? Yet we want, so many people today want the gospel of peace and prosperity, just love and joy. I love God, he's going to bless me and give me everything I want. Friends, that's not what we read about in the Bible. We are a chosen vessel. We are a chosen vessel. In 2 Timothy 2:11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Christ, you think about the blessings he's going to give us, the home he has gone to prepare, and that's for the faithful, the ones that go through whatever is necessary to be obedient to him. But God is still seeking to make known his riches of his glory in the vessels which he has prepared unto glory. He had Saul back then. Who does he have today? He's got you and he's got me. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for his glory? God is the potter. We are the clay. He's going to make us and mold us to serve his purposes. Friends, we are all chosen. We are all chosen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Paul was unique in that he was an apostle born out of due time. He was chosen, but friends, we are chosen also. We are chosen just as Saul was. We were unclean, we were emptied, but God chose us. He filled us. He separated us apart to do a work and to honor him. And we are honored that we are his messengers. But there's going to be some suffering that goes with it. But we should not be surprised, for Christ, who left us an example, suffered also for us, that we might live forever with him. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with something, you need prayers, you need confession, you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.